In addition to all these minor gestures of defiance, there was a larger trend in Soviet everyday life, which Soviet sociologists themselves and many other observers often noticed. Namely, what's been called a massive withdrawal of people from public life, from the world of ideology, from the world of building socialism, and a withdrawal into private life. A withdrawal of time, a withdrawal of energy, and of course of their sentiments, of their feelings. And this, what might be called rising culture of private life, took many forms in the Soviet Union. For example, it meant focusing one's leisure time on things like sports rather than politics, or on popular music, which meant both Western music, which began to be imported, some of it not fully legal, but also Russian pop music, which tended not to sing about politics. Most important, though, this withdrawal of energies from public into private life meant an increasing focus of energies and values on non-public concerns, above all, family and friends. One sociologist talking about this growing attention to family life talked about a widespread drift toward domesticity in Soviet society, in Soviet life. A cozy home for most Russians became much more important than building a new society or criticizing imperialism or even joining the official fight for world peace. These were the major public causes of the day. People spent more time on family life and including on their home, on their physical spaces, which they decorated with various material objects, a piano, furniture. They displayed china. They picked out nice wallpaper. This is where people put their energies and even their values. Even more important, perhaps, is people focused their attention increasingly on friends. Many Russians, in fact, focused as much free time as they had on their small circle of trusted friends. Friends became a place for emotional bonding, a place which for men often meant activities mixed with a good deal of heavy drinking. Friends were people you could turn to for help in emergencies. Friends were people you could talk with honestly. You could tell jokes. You could find out really what's going on in society. They would help you out in every way possible. In fact, according to one, again, Soviet sociologist, though echoing the studies of many, friendship became, and I quote, one of the most important pillars of morality in the Soviet Union, the basic foundation of people's judgments and values and commitment. Now, a related sign of cultural changes that were turning people away from the status quo, from political values of the regime, were the everyday cultural lives, especially of young people. The Soviet press, in fact, is filled with articles lamenting the lack of a good Soviet consciousness among young people, or even what was sometimes called widespread hooligan subculture. The way people dressed, young people dressed, was, for example, seen as emblematic of the problem, and indeed was an important sign. Lots of people were writing in, and articles appeared in various scholarly and sociological journals to complain about the clothes that young people were wearing. This meant, of course, Western jeans above all, which were very popular by the late 70s and 1980s. And these jeans rather typically tended to look like Western jeans and for good measure often had a nice big label on the back with some Western name written on it. Though many of these were actually made in East European countries, not in the United States or even Western Europe. By the early 1980s, one even begins to see young people dressed in various popular punk styles with brightly dyed hair and chains and safety pins in their ears and the like. Another very visible sign, especially of this growing separate, dissident, in subtle ways, dissident youth culture, was widespread graffiti, which began to appear all over the walls of major cities in the Soviet Union, even out in the countryside. And here, too, one sees what might be described as signs of sort of alternative identities among young people who tended to put up most of this graffiti. We see, for example, graffiti indicating sports fans for various clubs, especially soccer and hockey clubs. And indeed, one sees not only graffiti showing one's identification with one's favorite sports team, but various colors connected to them, a special unofficial language connected to these teams, and even violence connected to one's primary important identity with one's favorite soccer or hockey team.